Believe it or not, during the Revolutionary War, this man, the Reverend John Witherspoon, was near the top of the British Army's hit list.
Witherspoon was burned in effigy by the British. And one of the king's officers commented that Witherspoon, quote, perhaps had not a less share in the revolution than Washington.
The British Army believed that he was dangerous.
After the Battle of Trenton, a German soldier under British command captured a Presbyterian minister and bayoneted him to death in a very public way because he thought the man was the Reverend John Witherspoon. My name is Jeffrey Morrison. I'm author of John Witherspoon and the Founding of the American Republic.
My name is Fred Huser. I'm the executive director of the Presbyterian Historical Society, located here in Philadelphia.
My name is Alexander Stoddart, and I'm sculptor in ordinary to the Queen in Scotland. Witherspoon was born in the East Territories of Scotland in Scottish Lowlands in a town called Gifford.
He was pastor at a church in Paisley, Scotland in 1766 when a delegation came from Princeton, then known as the College of New Jersey, to ask Witherspoon to be the college's president.
And a delegation came from Princeton, and he refused the first time, but they crossed the Atlantic twice for this man. The second time they came across, he was persuaded, and embarked upon a long, long sea voyage of several months.
Witherspoon was instrumental in improving the college. His students included James Madison, Aaron Burr, really a remarkable cadre of future leaders in the early republic. While his record at Princeton is impressive enough, he was also very active in the Continental Congress. And he also used his influence as a pastor to support the American Revolution.
The British government and the British Army believed that he was dangerous. Not that he was physically dangerous, but he could encourage others, and did encourage others, to take up arms.
People were more likely in 1776 to hear a sermon in any given week, in fact, probably more than one sermon, than they were to read a newspaper.
Bailey's statue of Witherspoon is saying that this man is an orator. So there'll be a manual gesture and a scroll to say that not only does he speak, but he writes what he speaks.
Certainly Witherspoon's most famous sermon is called The Dominion of Providence Over the Passions of Men.
Now, this was a political sermon, and it was preached in May of 1776. And that sermon was printed and reprinted. It immediately went through a number of editions, both in the colonies and in Britain.
The cause in which America is now in arms is a cause of justice, of liberty, and of human nature.
So far as we and have that sermon alone, if he hadn't done any other writing, would have been a key thing in helping to stir the revolutionary pot. But he was also there in Independence Hall on July 4th, 1776.
And there was some hesitation about signing the Declaration of Independence because, you know, had the fortunes gone against these men, they would have been signing their own death warrant as traitors.
On the side of this statue are the words he speaks, urging his fellow delegates to sign the Declaration of Independence. He says, although these gray hairs must soon descend into sepulchre,
I would infinitely rather that they descend thither by the hand of the executioner than desert at this crisis the sacred cause of my country.
Witherspoon is the only clergyman to sign the Declaration of Independence. So as part of the centennial celebrations of 1876, the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church commissioned this statue. They hired the French-born sculptor Joseph Alexis Bailey, who also sculpted the statue of George Washington that stands outside of Independence Hall here in Philadelphia.
The posture of the foot coming forward over the edge of the pedestal is also a sculptural convention. I always like to think it's emblematic of a man who goes and makes an immense impression upon the world.